O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. It was in Rome that I learned that I was, in fact, Protestant. In the years prior, while attending a Southern Baptist university and a Presbyterian seminary, I rarely felt Protestant, and I was drawn to the middle way claimed by Anglicanism that drew deeply from the beautiful liturgy and sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church. But there, at the heart of Rome, I found that the decoration of churches overwhelmed me, and the shrines and relics did not move me. Seeing the Pope was more like seeing a celebrity or famous scholar, and all around me, the depth of emotion in others only heightened my awareness that I did not share in it. When Jonathan, who was the only other Princeton Seminary grad on the trip, and I expressed some skepticism that the white specks we saw through exactly 14 panes of glass were definitely the bones of St. Peter, our professor laughed and exclaimed, "You're so Protestant." And he was right. It reminded me of the first time I felt truly Episcopalian. Then I was attending the Parliament of World Religions in Melbourne. Each day we were given the opportunity to experience worship of other religions and to get to know this incredible array of religious people from all around the globe. In the midst of that, I realized that my soul was hungry and that what I longed for was the familiar words of evening prayer. Amidst the beauty and richness of so many traditions, I needed to draw on my own to feed my soul in a unique and irreplaceable way. As I reflected on those experiences, I realized that what I was experiencing spiritually was something I learned about identity when I worked at an expat community in Switzerland. Those people taught me this common understanding that you are so much more aware of your native culture when you go outside of it. I felt more American outside of the States than I ever had before, and Brits felt more British when they were across the channel. But in that community, I learned the powerful lesson that fully knowing and living out your own identity, being fully who you are, never means shrinking from encountering people who are different. But actually, that enables us to know and be known by others. It's the heart of living in communion together. I think this is a truth many of us have experienced, and I believe that it's because it's how we were created. A beautiful reality that comes from a belief at the core of our faith as Christians, one that we celebrate today. Today is Trinity Sunday, today that's often overlooked or set aside, or at least a topic that's just avoided and not addressed directly. But to do so misses something that is not only at the core of our faith, but it's one of the great beauties, one of the great sources of hope that our faith offers us and our world. The Trinity is not some abstract doctrine for academics to ponder elsewhere. The Trinity is at the heart of who God is. And because we are made in the image of God, it tells us who we are and who we as a community are called to be. The Trinity is a belief that is core to our faith, not because it's just unique to Christianity or because some important theologian somewhere think it is. The Trinity is core to our faith because it tells us the answers to those core questions of life. Who we are, what it means to be human, what makes life meaningful. And it has incredible meaning and hope to offer our world today. It is something our world needs to hear, something our world longs to hear. When we speak of the Trinity, we usually get hung up on how exactly God can be one in essence and three in persons. We parse words, what do we mean by essence, persons, modes, and on and on. And while I believe those conversations are important, I love how one wonderful professor explained that we must go to the depth grammar. Beyond the terminology of a triune God, we must seek to discover its deepest intentions. The doctrine of the Trinity claims that God exists in fellowship among the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that this very fellowship is God. At its core, the existence of God and Trinity means that the essence of being is life with one another. The essence of being is life in eternal relationship. This is the essence of being of God, and because we are made in the image of God, it is the core of what it means to be human as well. We were made for life in relationship, life with God, and life with one another. And it's so true, isn't it? We ache to know and be known, to have life-giving connections with others. We ache for it because it's how we're created to live, because we fundamentally are part of each other. We're part of each other, and it's a truth we most often know at the beginning and end of life, in birth and in death, in those powerful moments when we realize that we are not ourselves alone. In new persons created out of bodies, and in that realization that our own body is changed when one we love is gone, we seem to know physically in a way that's sometimes more deep and mysterious than our minds can understand. We seem to know the truth that we are truly part of each other. Life together is the essence of who we are. It's what fundamentally makes us human, and nothing else that claims our time and energy can make us alive more than knowing and joyfully living with one another. And it's because we are made in the image of God, a God that is three in one. In our God, we discover that the divine being is a life of eternal love, encounter, and connection. The distinctions, the differences between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are only seen in their connection, because connection only exists in the presence of distinction. We know this. Relationship requires separate entities. Relationship requires difference to exist. At the very heart of God, we see that difference is required for being, that it is necessary for life. But that's not what we usually hear, is it? Religion, Christianity included, has often used difference as a source for fear and division. And perhaps now more than ever, we must rise above such lies that are at the root of so much evil. One of my favorite writers, the former chief rabbi of Great Britain, Jonathan Sacks, says, "I believe globalization is summoning the world's great faiths to a supreme challenge, one that we have been able to avoid in the past but can do so no longer. Can we find in the human thou a fragment of the divine thou? Can we recognize God's image in one who is not in my image?" I believe that the heart of our faith, the heart of who we know God to be because of the sending of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because they have come into the world among us, this heart of our faith offers a resounding yes to that question. In our hearts, we know that difference is actually what makes relationships and life beautiful. Is it not the mysterious, the unknown in another person that draws us to them? Usually when connection is born, it's never a full knowing of another, but rather a glimpse of knowledge that draws us in and makes us long to know more. Even in those with whom we share life the longest, we find parts we don't understand. And to some extent, that is the allure of a life together. The joy of love is that we long to know them more and more, something that can never happen if we're all the same. Relationship requires difference, and so it's something that should be celebrated because those relationships make us who we are. But this is not what we hear and see all around us. All around us, we hear this call to fear difference. Instead of an opportunity for relationship, distinctions between us are considered the major culprit of all our problems. We are told that those who are different from us will destroy who we are, will take away what is core to what we know, who we know ourselves to be. And when difference is seen as something that threatens who we are, instead of something that allows us to be ourselves, it brings forth that most powerful motivator, fear. And we see fear's destructive effects in our community, in our nation, and in our world. Out of fear, we become more and more polarized, breaking everyone into groups of like us and not like us, liberal and conservative, right and wrong. We come up with labels to try to categorize people rather than getting to know them. We seek to build walls rather than tear them down. We seek to keep others out and ourselves in and alone. As technology offers us more and more opportunities to know people different from ourselves, we've also used that power to silo ourselves physically and digitally, seeking relationships only with those whom we disagree and cutting off other voices. And in doing so, we lose the opportunity for the fellowship for which we were created, because we can never be in relationship with some straw man from a label or a category. Many claim that if we all just realized we were the same, our problems would be solved. And we buy into that sometimes by pretending to agree or downplaying the magnitude of our differences. I think we do that because at our core, we're starved for connection. We long for intimacy. We're constantly engaged and often networking and busy, driven lives, but so many of our ties are weak. So we seek to dampen down our differences and be less of ourselves, hoping that that might make us more desirable for relationship. But this isn't what we're shown in the very life of God. If reducing who you are and getting rid of differences was the way to relationship, if being the same instead of keeping any distinction was most important, then there would be no need for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Surely God would only be one and any distinction would be dissolved. But instead, throughout Scripture, and especially in the words of Jesus like those we read today, we hear of constant flowing relationship, what those in the East call perichoresis, because they see the eternal being of God as a dance. It's in this dance, this never static, ever growing life and relationship that we were created for. Because we were created for it, because it is what it is to be made in the image of God, it makes us more of who we are. Being in relationship is what it is to be human, to be fully alive and grow into all that God has created us to be. And that is the hope of God that we have to share with our world. We are made in the image of God, but we are not the image of God alone. We're not the image of God as solitary, independent creatures. We were not made to live that way. We are the image of God in relationship with each other. The image of God is reflected in us when we live together in the communion for which we were created. And that communion requires all of us. Together, we make the image of God. And that is what it means that we are less without each other, without all that God has made. This is what we celebrate as we gather here. We gather around this table, all created fearfully and wonderfully different, and we share the broken body of Christ, which makes us whole together. We bring our quirks and our quibbles, our beauty and our scars, our loves and our losses, and we come here as the people who we have become to share life together, because it's here that we find God, here among us. And it doesn't just stop here. God's work is never done. And we are called to go out from here because our fellowship is not complete in our broken world. There are so many others out there that long to know the love and connection that they were created for. They long for it. And what we remember today, celebrating our triune God, is that because of who God is and who God created us to be, we long for them. We long for them because we are less without them. We are less without all of God's children, for only together can we reflect the image of God. Only together do we live into the truth and beauty of the divine being. Only together can we find the full and abundant life for which we were created. So come. Come as you are, broken and beautiful, and know the joy of fellowship for which you were created. Come and taste of the feast that Scripture promises us will be shared by all peoples and all nations. Come and know the love that your soul longs for. And as you come, May you be fed so that you may join the work of God to bring this taste of heaven to fullness around us. May you be filled with the love for which you were created, and may that love fill you so that you cannot contain it, and you go out into the world to know and love as you are made to be known and loved. May you go and share the fellowship for which we were all created. May you go and be part of the work of reconciling all that is broken, redeeming all that is lost, restoring all that are alone to the fellowship for which we were made, the eternal life with our one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.